Hi, this is season 2, episode 3 of the podcast, The Four Boys Club. I'm Shaurya. There's a line June Gable said, who played the undeniably funny Estelle Leonard in Friends, which, truth be told, goes down really well in many a situation. Things change, roll with them, she said. Of course, she did not exactly say it in the same context as in this episode of the Four Boys Club, but it can be perfectly applied here. Because, well, things do change, don't they? And with things, so do people. Can we say we are exactly the same of who we were as kids? That the tide of time has not changed us or even withered us? The person we are talking about in this episode is Mompy. As a teenager, he was the guy you'd be envious with, because he had everything. He was amicable, was great with people, had a lot of friends, and of course, a cool dad, who was actually called the cool dad. But somewhere down the line, Mompy changed, and well, he did wither. He became a hostage of his own insecurities, and no one saw this change more than his wife, Midhali. Episode 3, Hostage. In every group, there is always a member who you would call is the glue. The one who, you can say, holds the group intact, who is the very foundation on which the dynamic of the entire group is built. These are the people who are, at least from the outside, sorted, level-headed, emotionally stable, and know just the right things to say. People who you are likely to envy, because they have everything you desire. A warm and friendly demeanor, the ability to click with everyone, and something which has been stated but bears a repetition because it cannot be overemphasized, knowing the right things to say. Maybe we can even say these very people, the pillars, set the tone for the future of the group. These are your Nick Millers, your Chandler Beings, maybe even your Jerry Seinfelds. Without him, something in the dynamic between Elaine, Kramer and George seemed missing, wouldn't you say? And in our chronicle of the Four Boys Club, this person was Mompy. We may say the blame of the group to disband should have been put to everyone equally. No one particularly made any active efforts in letting time and distance do what they do best, creating differences. And yet, Mompy, who for the longest time was the son around whom everything that was about the Four Boys Club revolved, and therefore we can say was entrusted with the responsibility to not let the bonds of the group thin and break more than anyone else, became uninterested. None of the other three thought about this in a way we are. Whenever they would, barring Anpug of course, who would not live as long as the rest and understandably had more pressing concerns to deal with in the time he had remaining, they would wonder. But that would pretty much be it. The worries of their adult lives were aplenty, and they would be washed away with them. Mompy possessed the kind of qualities the others yearned to have, but, owing to their attitudes and personalities, could not. To appease and pacify were unarguably his greatest strengths, something which even the cool dad recognized and appreciated immensely. Perhaps Mompy inherited his enviable attributes from the cool dad himself, the man who each of them at one point or the other secretly desired to have as a father. But even heroes have bad days. Even they struggle with bouts of doubtfulness, of unsurety, of insecurity. Lest we forget, and no matter in how high a pedestal we keep them, they too are fallible. They may seem impervious to the jabs that affect the common folk like us, but their guard isn't concrete. For it does come down once in a while, allowing lack of self-confidence to creep in, shaking their very core of self-assurance. Despite the candor and what we might call the fearlessness to express himself he exuded through his adolescence and early adult life, there came a time when Mompy grew unconfident. It may be worth noting how there came a time when his confidence in himself started shaking and dwindling. Mompy was one kid in the group who, to put it plainly, had many friends outside the four boys club. At school, he was well liked. Virtually no one held a grudge against him. And when he needed help, anyone he asked would willingly help. Even when he asked Sanjana, his classmate at school, who Mompy suspected had a fling with Bandhim after he introduced the two, to miss out a PE period to help out study for an exam he had missed, she did not mind at all. When Mompy asked if she was absolutely sure it would not be a problem, she said he was doing her a favor. She did not like PE anyway. Mithali liked Mompy's friendliness, which stemmed from the absence of that inherent biasness we all possess towards those different than us, but there would be moments she would feel uncomfortable, especially when he would have to stay back at school, for a friend's party, going out for movies, etc., or spend more time than she would have liked speaking to them on his WhatsApp group at nights than with her. But she never said it aloud, particularly not to Mompy. Perhaps because she knew it was an overreaction on her part, or it was her insecurities more than his lack of presence. Either way, it was her burden to bear. And so, it may seem outlandish that Mompy, now in his 30s with his adolescence behind him and his friends from school and even college gone their separate ways, told his wife how he thought, "The only reason I have any friends today is because of you." Needless to say, the statement did take Mithali aback. It was true, Mompy did not have as many friends as an adult as he did earlier. But isn't that life? As your responsibilities change, so do your priorities. And there comes a time, no matter how unfavorable it is, when maintaining friendships takes a backseat. At least that's what the relatively more practical of the two, Mithali, thought was the case with her husband. Sure, there was a touch of irritation in his demeanor the last couple of years. Imperceptible perhaps to other people, but she knew him inside out. His refusal to go out, with a few friends they had made from the neighborhood, Mithali's colleagues, his cousins and their families, became common. And after a point of time, frustrating for Mithali. The person who took off whenever he was called away by his friends had now turned into a grumpy man who would rather sit home. Not that there was anything wrong with that. After all, things change, people change. But something was working inside Mompy. As his wife, and this is where things that were imperceptible to the world being apparent to her factored in, she knew something was wrong. Yet even with her suspicions, she believed he was just too much in his head. Maybe it was work, maybe some issue he needed to deal with by himself. And so she let him be. He would come around after all. He always did. Mompy's remark, as surprising it was for Mithali, came after a birthday party of the neighbor's 10-year-old kid the two had returned from. He was quiet during the drive back home, merely nodding at Mithali's comments on how the party was a dud, insanely boring, and something that was organized just to show off their rich. Mompy, however, was deep in his thoughts, which he had not revealed to Mithali yet, even though she, having sensed his disquiet, tried probing. When they came home, Mithali tried asking him one final time, having promised herself she would not question anymore if he denied. And it was then he told her how she was the reason why he had friends. "What do you mean?" she asked, expecting a sarcastic retort. She knew when a sardonic jab was coming her way. She did not know the source of it, but knew it was going to be unreasonable. And that, a few minutes in, they will have a full-blown argument over it. She braced herself. "You're great with people, you know that. I saw you chumming around with Ria's friends, even though you never took a particular liking to them." Ria was the neighbor whose kid's party it was. Mithali could not comprehend where Mompy's line of thought was going. She wondered if it was a casual remark or, considering it had come after several attempts of her asking him what the matter was, an accusation. He continued, "You ever realize the friends I have today are actually all your friends? Alice, Taram, Amya, Vishesh, they are your friends. They just know me because of you. So what's your point? She asked. He did not know what his point was. Did he think he was the weight bogging their marriage down? Were the uninteresting parts of their marriage, the dull, quiet, unfun moments, because of him, while she the source of excitement, of joviality? I'm boring, Mithali, he said. He had chosen his words wisely. He knew she thought he was making a pointed accusation, which he was not. I'm not who I was. He wanted to say adulthood had rubbed away the zeal he once had possessed, but he did not want to get that dramatic. Maybe he was even thinking how she would be better off without him, but he stopped himself just in time before verbalizing the thought. That was definitely an overreaction. Instead, he broke down into tears. He had never cried, at least never in front of her. The tears came uncontrollably, his sobs punctuated with guilt-ridden remarks like, I'm sorry, I don't know what has happened to me. And Mithali had an inkling that that comment wasn't just for the way he was behaving right now. And I know I've made our marriage monotonous. The tears were genuine, as real as the heart beating in his chest and the blood coursing through his veins. So Mithali held him, his head on her shoulders, and let him cry his insecurities out. Even though the outburst calmed him 5 minutes later, the fragility of his emotions, the hurt of which he himself did not know the source, which had settled so deep within him that it now had made a home there, still remained. And it would remain for the entirety of his life, rendering the once upon a time carefree to the point of being uncaring and unworried Mompy a hostage of his own insecurities.